I please God to bless us together this evening as we consider further in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 23, and we'll commence this evening from verse 12 down to verse 24. As we read together, we saw that this was an occasion when there were that group of men who gathered together and made a vow that they might indeed kill the Apostle Paul. But we see how God wonderfully and gloriously delivered him from that situation. Indeed, these kind of things should be an encouragement to us to realize that we come tonight to the same God who can do great things in our lives, whatever we might need. Remembering last Friday when we finished our little meditation on the 11th verse, when the Lord spake to the Apostle Paul, and it was night, and the night following the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Well, little did Paul know what was before him, and little did Paul know what deliverance he would receive, and how that the Lord's promise would be so wonderfully and faithfully declared. Because he'd had this wonderful word from the Lord one night, and the next day there were certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Well, it was a very sad statement to make, wasn't it? The Apostle Paul had been preaching the gospel, and it would seem these men, possibly the Sadducees, of course, who did not believe in the resurrection, who Paul had spoken against, may have been so angry that they decided to get rid of Paul. And so they banded together and decided that to kill him, and in order to make that more positive, They came to this situation and decided not to eat nor drink anything until they had killed Paul. Well, of course, we know in fact they didn't kill Paul, and we know that he was delivered. So presumably they did actually eat and drink, and they didn't actually carry out what they said they were going to do. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. It's quite amazing, isn't it, when you see a group of these men so evil in their desires, and the poor apostle was just naturally by himself, but God was with him. And you see, my friends, when God is with us, then it matters not really how many people might rise up against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Realize we have such a gracious and glorious Saviour as the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able and who is willing still today to do great things. And the conspiracy was, and they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul." So they were very forthright, and they came and they told these people exactly what they were going to do, and therefore they had a plan. Well, many people have plans, but you see that the Lord is on the throne, and people may plan, but they may not be able to fulfill those plans, because if God stops them, they will not be able to fulfill them. "Now therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly and concerning him, and we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." No doubt they thought this plot was a fairly foolproof plot. They thought it had a lot of validity with it, and they thought, therefore, that the chief captain wouldn't refuse such a request. On the face of it, it looked very plausible and very reasonable, but of course they didn't count on the fact that Almighty God was completely aware of everything they'd planned, and he knew how he would bring that planning to nothing. And it was really quite amazing as we read this next verse. And when Paul's sister's son heard of the lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Well, there wouldn't have been, of course, that many people who would have heard that which had been planned. We know not how he came to this knowledge, but nonetheless, the Lord ordained that this young lad would come to his uncle and be able to speak to him. Perhaps he'd been able to come in freely into the castle to bring food for Paul, because it seems there wasn't any difficulty for him to go in and to see his uncle. And so, what a favour it is to realise that, you see, God knows the end from the beginning. And God ordained that this young man should be the person who should be used to come and be the cause how Paul was to be delivered from this situation. Well, the Lord still does great things today. And the Lord can still do great things today. How often perhaps we tend to limit the power of our God, or that we might have more faith to seek earnestly his face and to seek for his honour and glory. And so we're told, and when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. And it would seem from this that the apostle Paul had behaved himself so well and graciously that he was able to call the centurion. He didn't have to call perhaps those who might have been closer to him, but he was able to call the centurion. And the centurion didn't reject his request, but he came, so he took him and brought him to the chief captain as the apostle requested. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he didn't doubt the validity of that statement. We might think perhaps, well, surely he would think, well, let me hear what it is. Tell me what the reason is. Tell me about it. But no, we see again the Lord overruling in this providence and making this man, this senior person, centurion, somebody over 100 men, to be willing to come to the chief captain and bring this young lad to him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner, called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. So here was this young man then brought into the presence of the chief captain. And the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And this young lad told him. And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto him, for they are lying in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So in a few very simple words, this young man spoke to the chief captain. And we can imagine, can't we, the tremendous difference between this very senior soldier and this lad who had come to him with this position. Now we would think perhaps he would question him more closely as to whether this thing was true, and ask him perhaps many questions. But it seems he asked him nothing. It seems that he believed that which this young lad had spoken. And again we see, don't we, the overruling power and providence of God, who has the heart of all men in his hands. And that's good to remember, isn't it? that the hearts of all men are in God's hands. And God here controlled the heart of the centurion. He controlled the heart of this chief captain so that he was willing to listen in the first place and then to take heed to the words that had been spoken and to come and to deliver or at least make a preparation for the deliverance of the Apostle Paul. And so he told this young man, told the centurion, the chief captain, the situation, and he told him again not to yield. It's quite amazing, isn't it? The strength and the boldness of this young man, telling this chief captain what to do, but do not thou yield unto them. Well, we might think this is amazing, isn't it? A young lad speaking to the chief captain in these terms. And of course, in those days, it wasn't something that you were really able to do, to speak to somebody high in authority like this person. Nonetheless, in God's purpose, so it was. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See thou tell no man that thou showed these things to me." Quite clearly, he didn't want any plans that he might be able to provide for the escape of the apostle to be jeopardized, and therefore he told him not to tell anybody that he'd been told about this. And then we're told what the chief captain did, and it was very significant. It wasn't just, "Well, I think I'll send Paul off then. He can go quietly by himself." No, it was very different to that. This chief captain, he then got together really a little army, we might say, and he called under him two centurions, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea." Well, not only 200 soldiers, but also 70 horsemen. And not only horsemen, but spearmen, 200, at the third hour of the night. So here we have then, we have kind of 470 men taking Paul on this journey. It's quite amazing, isn't it, to think of so many. We might think, well, just a couple of soldiers might well have been adequate, but no, in God's providence, there were all these people provided to go with the Apostle Paul. And he was told, "And provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor." And so Paul was able to ride comfortably, not have to walk. It was many miles that they had to traverse, many miles that night. But you see what a blessing it was that God had ordained how the apostle was to escape, how he moved various situations so the young man would hear what was proposed, and then the centurion made willing to come and tell the chief captain and bring the lad to him, the chief captain then willing to hear what the young lad told him and to recognize it as a true situation, and then prepare this large company of people to take Paul safely on his journey to Felix the governor. Well, we should be encouraged, shouldn't we, tonight, that as the Lord looked after his servant Paul, so he looks after his people today. So he did that for Paul, which he wouldn't have envisaged, but my friends, he can do the same for us today. We have a God who can do and does great things. Oh, may our faith be increased to trust in the Lord at all times. Amen.